We have breaking news, everyone. Tyler Robinson's lawyers filed their first round of briefing to the judge, and they admit fully in the briefing that Tyler Robinson was on UVU campus, that he was in the security cameras, and that there was no exploding mic. It was a gunshot fired by Tyler Robinson. They admit much more. I'm going to be showing you all of the highlights, the most important parts of this brief, because it's 40 pages long. And I read the entire thing for you this morning, but I don't want to read all 40 pages. I'm just going to show you the best ones. I'm going to be putting up the briefing on screen for you so you can actually see what it is rather than me just theorizing. Again, that's one of the hallmarks of this show, is we're not going to theorize. We're just going to show what actually happened, unlike the conspiracy grift. By the way, I should say, and we're going to talk about this at the end, Candace Owens canceled her show yesterday when this came out. She's obviously reeling with this information. She needs to take more time to discover where she will go from here, just like she did during the preliminary hearing. So with that, let's go through a few of these documents. They start off by saying the state's presentation of its evidence as to this alleged circumstance in aggravation of the preliminary hearing in July wholly fails to carry its burden of proof. Okay, that is their argument. However, as we'll see, they are not arguing that Tyler Robinson didn't do it. What they are going to argue is that Tyler Robinson only killed Charlie Kirk. You can see in the second paragraph, they say the state has failed to establish probable cause that the shooter, quote, knowingly created a great risk of death to another other than Charlie Kirk and himself. The state is required as a matter of law to show more than a possibility that someone else may be killed by defendant's conduct rather than that there was a high probability of that result and that the defendant knew of that high probability. And where the state has overwhelmingly failed to make this showing, it asks this court to expand Utah's narrow construction of the great risk of death aggravator using decades-old cases from another state jurisdiction. Okay, so this is very important, you guys. At no point did they say, and I know Baron Coleman has made many videos talking about how this is no admission from the defense, but he is wrong. The defense is being very strategic here, and as I'll show you, they're very strategic in their wording. The accusation that is leveled, the charges that are leveled at Tyler Robinson, is that not only did he kill Charlie Kirk, but he could have killed others, and that comes with it a higher punishment potentially. That's where they're trying to get the death penalty on Tyler Robinson. Again, the defense is not arguing that Tyler Robinson didn't kill Charlie Kirk. They are arguing that there's not probable cause for, again, quote, knowingly creating a great risk of death to another other than Charlie Kirk. Now, if that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. Do I think a shooter on a rooftop pointed at a crowd of people proves that? Yeah, I think so. So I think this is a long shot, but I'm not a lawyer. What I care most about is not that Tyler Robinson could have shot other people. It's that did he or not shoot Charlie Kirk? And again, the defense is not arguing he didn't. In this page, they say the communications the state admitted between Mr. Robinson and Mr. Twiggs indicate, again, they're fully admitting that text message is real, indicate Mr. Robinson's intention to kill Charlie Kirk. They're admitting it, guys. I mean, they're fully admitting this. Quote, I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk and I took it. There is no mention of any threat or intended harm to another individual. Again, they're already seeding the ground that he killed Charlie Kirk. They're just saying, look, there's no mention of any other threat or intended harm. And they're right. You know, so again, I don't think that helps their case. But at this point, the defense is not trying to not get a guilty verdict for Tyler Robinson. They know that's coming. What they're trying to do is get him not executed, ultimately. That's all they care about because that's all they can do. Next page, they say the single shot fired traveled from east to west at a downward slope into the bottom of the, quote, bowl where the tent was located. They're fully admitting this was a shot that occurred from the Losey Center. Not an exploding mic. And it says showing crowded increased elevation to the east. They talk about, and they say, if the questioner had been in the, quote, line of fire from a bullet moving towards Mr. Kirk, the questioner would have been struck by the bullet as it traveled. In fact, the state's evidence shows exactly why the questioner was not in the line of fire. The single bullet came from above. So, once again, they are proving Tyler Robinson was not aiming for the questioner, the person asking Charlie Kirk a question at the time. He was not looking to shoot someone else in the crowd. He was looking specifically to kill Charlie Kirk. In order to continue this line of thinking that they're going on, they essentially have to admit why Tyler Robinson was there in the first place. Because, again, like, they're already seeding the ground. Yes, he was there to kill someone, but guys, it wasn't other people. It was just Charlie Kirk. My sponsor, Cloaked, asked me to put my phone number into their website, and I was not expecting for it to come up, but it did. Data brokers make billions of dollars every year selling your info to spammers and scammers, and they are betting that you're not going to do anything about that, and usually they're right. But not if you use Cloaked. Most services out there remove your data after it's already out there, but the problem is you keep creating new vulnerabilities every time you sign up for something. Cloaked uncovers where your data is being sold and removes it. Their app also lets you generate unlimited burner emails and phone numbers. This is something that comes in handy for my business, as you'd imagine. Cloak also monitors the dark web. It detects if your personal information has been exposed. It has a built-in VPN that I use when I'm on the road and password manager AI-powered spam call filtering. Go to my link, cloaked.com/Joshua Carr, and enter your phone number for a free security scan. The scan only takes a few seconds, and you'll be able to see if your social security number is for sale. Guys, Cloaked, not just my sponsor, to something I actively use every single day. As you know, there are people trying to buy my information online. They're trying to dox me, people who don't like my show. Cloaked helps me stay just a little bit safer. The longer you wait, the more of your information gets bought and sold. If you're ready to take it back, use cloaked.com/Joshua Carr. And again, you're going to get 30% off your plan with that link. I put a link in the description below as well. They go on. This is the knowledge part. They say the state asks this court to make a finding that the shooter knowingly created a high probability of grave risk of death based upon speculation that is not supported by the evidence. The state speculates and asks this court to speculate, A, that the shooter actually observed security personnel standing an unknown distance from Mr. Kirk, that the shooter may have known that there were people behind the pop-up tent, that the shooter knew that they may strike someone other than the intended target, that the shooter knew that they may strike someone other than the intended target because targets with bullet holes in them were recovered from Mr. Robinson's shared apartment, that the shooter knew they may strike someone other than the intended target because the rifle may have been taken apart and put back together. Again, this is where I'm not a lawyer, so maybe some of you in the comments can tell me. We're actually going to be having an attorney on the show next week to talk about some of these things. But does Tyler Robinson need to know for a fact that those things are true for him to not get charged with potentially endangering other people with a firearm? I don't see evidence of that. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Do you just have to, with absolute certainty, be able to prove that someone knew that? Or do you have to just prove that they could have killed someone else very probably? Again, shooting into a crowded room or a crowded amphitheater or a crowded courtyard like that, it just seems logical that, yes, you are posing a significant danger to someone else. They say the video evidence shows, again, they're admitting, the video evidence shows Mr. Robinson. You'll notice in the previous one, they said the shooter, okay? This one, they don't say the shooter, they say Mr. Robinson. The video evidence shows Mr. Robinson walking up and down stairs at UVU with a gait impaired by something long in his pant leg. The reasonable inference from the evidence provided is that it was a fully assembled rifle. Okay. They're admitting that. The presence of a screwdriver on the roof does not establish that the rifle was taken apart and put back together any more than it establishes that the screwdriver was intended to take the rifle apart after the shooting. The state did not present any evidence as to how the screwdriver could have been used to disassemble and assemble this weapon in the period of time at issue. Again, that's something I would like to see come out in trial. But the important part from this page, and the reason why I'm highlighting it, is it says the video evidence shows Mr. Robinson. So for all of this talk of, no, it's not him, no, this is someone else. You know, we showed the doctored photos of Candace Owens yesterday on the show. We're going to be clipping that and showing you a little bit of a fuller version in the future on this channel if you want to see that. For all of that talk, the defense attorneys have just completely come out and admitted, yes, he was on campus that day. And that security footage that you see is of Mr. Robinson. They do not say the shooter. They say Mr. Robinson. At the end here, they talk about two things they want to be just struck completely, two of the charges. And again, just notice, they did not ask to strike the charges of him committing manslaughter or murder on, I shouldn't say manslaughter, it was murder on Charlie Kirk. It says, count six must be stricken because the evidence does not establish that Mr. Robinson's statement to Mr. Twiggs to, quote, ask for a lawyer and stay silent was intended to obstruct an investigation. Again, you'll remember, and they write about it right here and I can read it, but Mr. Robinson told Twiggs, get a lawyer, like, don't talk to them. And the prosecutors are saying that that was obstruction of justice. Again, the prosecutors have a responsibility to try to charge Tyler Robinson with everything they can. It doesn't mean the jury is going to necessarily convict him with all of those things, nor do I think they need to in order to get a death penalty. But what the defense is saying is that one just doesn't hold water. Maybe they're right. I don't know. They say count six charges Mr. Robinson with tampering with a witness in violation of Utah. The information alleges that Mr. Robinson committed this offense by, quote, directing his roommate to stay silent if police question the roommate. Information at three. The state alleges that by telling Mr. Twiggs to exercise his right under the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution to ask for counsel and to remain silent, Mr. Robinson, quote, attempted to induce or otherwise cause his roommate to withhold testimony information. Count six must be stricken because Mr. Robinson's advice to Mr. Twiggs is consistent with the longstanding constitutional principle that every person in this country has, quote, the right to remain silent. Again, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know for sure on that one. They also ask for count seven to be struck. They say count seven must be stricken because the evidence does not establish that Mr. Robinson had knowledge that a child under the age of 14 was present and would see or hear the commission of the charged homicide. The information charges Mr. Robinson in count seven with the substantive offense of knowingly exposing a child under the age of 14 to the charged homicide. This section of Utah law requires that the state prove that a violent offense occurred in the physical presence of a child younger than 14, with the defendant, quote, having knowledge that the child is present and may see or hear the commission of a violent criminal offense. Again, this one, I'm not sure. This could be stricken. Like, it really could. Count six or seven absolutely could be stricken by the jury. Again, if that were the case, do I think a death penalty would not occur? I think it would still occur. Like, you murdered someone in cold blood over political differences. You could have hurt someone else. Whether or not you knew that a 14-year-old was present and whether or not you truly tampered with a witness or not, I don't know. And I don't think it matters very much. Like, those are, frankly, some of the least of his crimes. They say later, in the face of the absence of evidence, the state focuses on Mr. Robinson's sexuality and Mr. Twiggs' gender identity. If only because those are two topics on which Mr. Kirk was, in fact, widely viewed as expressing hatred and intolerance. However, that is not an evidentiary substitute for proof that Mr. Robinson targeted Mr. Kirk because of those expressions. It is a state speculation that he did so. This is a great point. I'm actually really glad this is in there. This is a point that you and I have made over and over and over again with the people that we have been debating on my live streams. There is this narrative out there that motive can replace evidence, and that it's evidence enough. And what the defense is saying here is that's not true. They're refuting what Candace Owens has said, essentially, which is that you cannot look at Mr. Robinson and say that his sexuality and Mr. Twiggs' gender identity is proof enough that he assassinated Charlie Kirk. And they're absolutely right, just in the same way that I could take a million people who disagreed with Charlie Kirk in America and say, well, that doesn't mean that they murdered Charlie Kirk. So they're right. The problem with their saying is that they're ignoring all the evidence. So a motive is probably helpful in addition to the evidence to prove why someone did something or if someone did something. But is it sufficient alone? It is not. And here they are arguing that the victim targeting enhancement should be stricken, which essentially is another charge saying that, you know, he was actively targeting Charlie Kirk because of his beliefs. Again, with the speculation of the motive alone, I would agree with them, but there's actual evidence, for instance, the fact that he used a Dremel to engrave his differences in opinion with Charlie Kirk, and then his DNA was left on the Dremel, that means that the enhancement should not be stricken, in my opinion. Two more things I want to show you from this, and this is just so damning for Candace Owens and for the conspiracy theorists. It's just unbelievable. I mean, frankly, it really is. This is from the Washington County investigation. And again, these are things that we already know, but I want to read them anyway to familiarize everyone with it and also recognize that these are admissions that the defense is fully willing to make. They are saying that this happened. They did not challenge it in the preliminary hearing, and they are not challenging it right now in briefing. They say on the evening of September 11th, again, that's the day that that Tyler Robinson turned himself in. As law enforcement continued their investigation, Tyler went to the Washington County Sheriff's Office with his parents and a family friend to turn himself in. Robinson's mother stated the following to police. The day after the shooting, Robinson's mother saw the photo of the shooter in the news and thought the shooter looked like her son. Robinson's mother called her son and asked him where he was. He said he was at home sick. Robinson's mother expressed concern to her husband and that the suspected shooter looked like Robinson. Robinson's mother explained that over the last year or so, Robinson had become more political and had started to lean more to the left, becoming more pro-gay, trans rights oriented. She stated that Robinson began to date his roommate. They continued to go on. They say this resulted in several discussions with family members, but especially between Robinson and his father, who had very different political views. In one conversation, Before the shooting, Robinson mentioned that Charlie Kirk would be holding an event at UVU, which Robinson said was a stupid venue for the event. Robinson accused Kirk of spreading hate. That corroborates, the text messages later. Robinson's father reported that when his wife showed him the surveillance image of the suspected shooter in the news, he agreed it looked like their son. He also believed that the rifle that police suspected the shooter used matched a rifle that was given to their son as a gift. As they discussed the situation, Robinson implied that he was a shooter, stated that he couldn't go to jail and just wanted to end it. When asked why he did it, Robinson explained, "There's too much evil, and the guy, Charlie Kirk, spreads too much hate." The family friend spoke to police, reported, telling Robinson that it would be best if he brought all evidence with him to the sheriff's office to avoid police having to search his parents' home. They're not denying any of that. Finally, one more page I do want to show you guys. This is from page 28. Again, they are quoting the actual text messages between Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs, and this is information we've had for a long time, but the point I want to make is at no point in the briefing do they say these text messages weren't sent. They don't say, oh, but it was Lance Twiggs that actually took his phone and did this, or it was an Israeli spy who did this. No, none of that. Again, their responsibility is to protect their client, the defendant. And I believe in the justice system, and so I believe they should do that, even though I don't like Tyler Robinson, and I think he did this. If you forgot what the text message says, it says, I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. We hope to keep things sort of quiet here. I only hope they let you visit. I'm going to miss you too. Please be good for me if you need anything at all. Both of my parents are willing to help you. Please go to them. Leave the room alone. The feds will search it top to bottom for certain, then work with my family to sort it out. What goes where and such. In response to Mr. Twiggs' question, quote, is there any way you don't go to prison? Mr. Robinson responded, I highly doubt it. I'll update you as much as I can, but if you need a place to stay, I'm sure my family would have you in my old room. You are all I worry about, love. Don't talk to any media, please. Don't take any interviews or make comments. I will always love you too. I will write to you as often as possible. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent. Make sure the police follow the right procedures, proper warrants and stuff. Be polite and respectful, of course. Sounds like a person who turned themselves in. And again, the defense is not denying any of it. This is completely damning to Candace Owens. Every time, this is something I've said from the very beginning. Candace Owens has very strategically made this out to be a Candace Owens versus Erica Kirk and TPUSA sort of thing. And they continually say, why can't they just release more stuff? Why aren't they being more transparent? I'm talking about TPUSA here. And the reason why is because they are not the murder investigators. Just like Candace Owens is not a murder investigator. There are actual state investigators and law enforcement that do that, and there are prosecutors who present that evidence to a judge. And so if TPUSA and Erica Kirk did that, it would potentially jeopardize the entire case, and there could be a mistrial. So their responsibility is not to be transparent. Their responsibility is to be transparent with law enforcement, and then they have urged through their lawyer and through other people to make that transparent in the court proceedings. And so what's happening is Candace Owens had the upper hand here. She could talk about whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted. She could just say whatever the crap she wanted. But now, during the preliminary hearing and during these briefings, it's their turn, finally, to do it in the right way. And whenever that happens, Candace Owens hides away. She goes to Spain, like during the preliminary hearing, and this time she conveniently canceled her show to say she needed more time to process this. The reason she does that is because she is reeling. She does not actually have any evidence, and so she is reading the evidence for the first time, like all of us are, and she's trying to figure out what to do next. Things are only going to get worse for her, and that is very good news. Before you guys go, I did want to let you know I always support great articles that are written. I always share them with you. Again, these are always free. Financial tech platforms like Stripe, GoFundMe, and PayPal have a clear trend of targeting conservatives right now, from the President of the United States to even small Christian charities. I wanted to share this really cool article about it. I put it at the top of the description below for you to read. Go check it out right now.